Good evening. This is the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. It is 8:42 p.m. and it's July 26, 2021. I'm Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of this committee of the National Board. And does somebody want to volunteer to be secretary for the day? Okay. Yes, I'll try to do the honors. it's going to be a little tricky. Okay, so I'm going to just call the roll in no particular order. Polina Vasilyev. Polina, I know you're here.
I'm here.
Okay. Heather Gray?
Here.
Beth Van Gunten?
Here.
Jim Sagerton?
Here.
Chris Corey?
Here.
And Alex Steinberg, that's me, I'm here. And the other committee members are absent. That would be Julie Hewitt, who I believe she's on vacation or something. Lyndon Foley, don't know where he is. And Anita Sims, our CFO, Lydia Brazon, our IED. And I think that's it.
I thought Sandra Rawlein was on this committee too, who is also not here, I think.
Oh yes, that's right. She's also an officer. Yep, you're right.
She's not here either. This is James.
James.
I just want to confirm that Julie is on vacation, as is Anita.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, but in any case, we do have quorum, so let's get down to work. I did not put out an agenda in advance. I just thought we'd sort of go around and sort of discuss where we're at with the various initiatives that we had been discussing, and let me list them in case you forgot. I tend to forget myself. Okay, one of them is the possibility of turning our loan into a bond. Lyndon was looking into that, as was Chris. Another was the possibility of NFTs, non-fungible tokens. We've been discussing that. We seem to have been having trouble just sort of getting off the ground with an initial prototype. Another possibility was the work on emergency preparedness. Beth has been doing a lot of work on that. Another possibility was monetizing podcasting. That's kind of has been discussed a lot locally at WBAI. We haven't really done very much on this committee about that yet. So those are the ones that we were discussing this. Now, in addition, I've since learned about another initiative. I'm not sure what stage it's in. And it was something I had been thinking about, but had not had a chance to introduce it to the committee. And lo and behold, it's already being explored completely independent of this committee. And again, this is being explored through WBAI management. And that's the possibility of getting a channel on Sirius XM for Pacifica. There's a lot of issues involved in that. For one thing, that would be a commercial thing. Sirius would pay for the channel, and there'd be ads running. So it would not strictly be part of our normal broadcasting. It wouldn't be part of our broadcasting at all. But since we do have content that could be transferred into the commercial realm, it seems like not a bad idea to see if there's something that we could do in that area. But anyway, the committee hasn't done anything on that. I know it's being explored at WBAI, and I'm not sure how far along that's gotten. Does anybody have something they want to discuss about any of this?
Chris Cordy, the stack?
Yes, Chris.
And how much okay, did the stack have for Al? Sorry.
Yeah.
First of all, I wanted to mention that I owe the committee minutes, and that is for a meeting all the way back in April, and I apologize. I just kept thinking about it, and I will get to it within the next 24 hours. I found my notes from that meeting, so I'll forward them to Alex when I've...
I just want to say about that, we really need to make an effort to get all the minutes approved and up to date and posted, because that things like that are requirements for CPB funding. We will be in a position to apply for that at some point. I'm not sure exactly when, but that's one of the requirements, and we really need to make sure all that stuff is taken care of.
This matter related to the CPB funding will come up at the at our court tomorrow night. There's something that Anita suggested before she went on vacation that I'll bring up in that meeting with regard to this.
At the finance committee meeting?
No, I'm sorry. No, a night after tomorrow. Pardon me. Wednesday night. Strategic planning. Or not strategic planning, coordinating. So many meetings.
Oh, okay. You wanted to have a discussion about that. Okay, sure.
Yeah. I just figured I'd bring it up there. We could bring it. Let me think about it. Does it make sense to bring it up here? Maybe it does. So the basic idea was to form an ad hoc committee to organize around that issue. And the reason Anita suggested it is because it's a complicated process. A lot of people will need to be involved, and having since there could be, I think, divisions of, not me, it's Anita, shouldn't make not at all, since she felt that there could be good division of labor on it, since there are so many disparate tasks associated with it, it would lend itself well to a committee of the PMB or a ad hoc committee. Anyway, we'll talk about it tomorrow night and see if we can get it on the agenda and draft a motion for it.
Okay. All
right. I keep saying tomorrow night. My apologies. Night after tomorrow. As far as the bond, I've been looking into private placement offerings for a while here, and I kind of struck out at with my own banking relations. It just doesn't work with your standard retail bank. You need an investment bank, and I've been trying to get in touch with Prudential in San Francisco, which was recommended to me by two of the banks that I'd contacted previously, and they have just not been replying to my email. So I called and left voicemail. They haven't replied to the voicemail yet, but it hasn't been that long since I've made that contact. I'll just continue following it up. I've learned from experience with these things that if you increase the pace slowly over time, the bankers eventually get back to you just to get you out of their hair, if nothing else. But I'm confident that I'll get engaged in a conversation and we'll see if we can get them to cooperate. If they won't, really, hopefully I'll get a recommendation. So I'm sorry to say that I don't have any progress to report per se, but yeah, I have an individual's name and telephone number at this point, and I'll just continue pursuing it until I get in touch with them.
Well, you know, I understand. You know, we've all been very busy with, you know, there's been other things that have been going on in Pacifica in the last few weeks. So that's taken up some of our time, and that's unfortunate because really this is the kind of stuff that could be the most fruitful for Pacifica. If we can figure out ways to raise some revenue.
Absolutely, and if I can get back on the soapbox on that subject for just a minute, you know, it seems like we spend a lot of bandwidth with these sort of battles between one another, and I know that there's a widespread consensus right now for, you know, moving past this and trying to work together. I'm hopeful that that'll actually happen. It feels like that time has come, and I feel more confident that it has than I felt in years.
Well,
so I hope that feeling's right.
I don't know, Chris. I would love to see that, but from the various email blasts from New Day Pacifica, I don't get the feeling that they want to work together. But you know, hopefully,
yeah,
I'm wrong.
That doesn't seem to be the case. I appreciate that, and perhaps my hopefulness is shining through for. More than is merited by the circumstances. We'll see as we go forward. Thank you for the time.
It would be great if that were the case. I mean, I would certainly, want to bring them in, into the fold, and we could certainly have a discussion about bylaws amendments. I just don't think we need to go through another crazy referendum. There's a few common sense type of bylaws amendments that most of us could probably agree on.
Yeah, I would really like to see us get ahead of it, but rather than have to go through this again. But that's for another day and another discussion, I suppose.
Right. Okay. But that's just where we're at the moment. Anybody else?
Alex, this is Heather.
Heather?
Yeah. Can folks hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
I'm sorry. On Monday nights is when I do my program, so I don't have time to go back to the house. I have to go to a restaurant or something. I know you were talking about monetizing podcasting. I think we've had some discussion about this in the past. I can't remember how much. And I know that it was brought up that the affiliates are doing some podcasting. So what I'd like, I think you had asked me to look into that, Alex, if I'm not mistaken. And what I'm thinking would be good would be to have someone from the affiliates who is actually working on the podcasting and for me to do more research on this as well. So I'd like to pursue that, just mentioning that. That makes sense, right? I can't really
it would be great if we had like a real practical example of how this works.
Yeah, exactly.
We are podcasting now. It's not like we're not podcasting. It's just that getting a regular revenue stream out of podcasting is that's the challenge.
There
are all sorts of issues involved. There's issues of, you know, how much of the content can Pacifica claim, how much of it can be the producers, and so, you know, there are all sorts of questions there.
Okay.
both legal and technical.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe you can invite somebody from one of the affiliate stations who's doing this, and maybe they can tell us how it's being done.
I'm sorry, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Let me look into that anyway. You know, we could learn a few things from the way the affiliates do things.
Yeah, so let me just... I apologize, I haven't done that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to look into that, absolutely. So, and get back to everybody about it. Okay.
Okay. All right, anybody else?
This is Beth. I'd be happy to talk about the risk management, emergency management section.
Yes, go ahead, Beth. I know this is basically your project.
Yeah.
And you've done quite a bit of work on it so far, so... And
I'm glad to get the chance to check in again, because it always kind of, it's an impetus for new things to happen. As you've mentioned, I'm one of those people whose time has been taken up with other Pacifica demands in recent weeks. So I've not gotten as far with this as I would like, but some things have happened. Following up on my initial request to each of our 8 units for copies of their emergency response plans, I can report back that I did finally get a response from one person, David Bays in Texas. So I think it might have been the first time he actually received that, because the initial request went out so long ago. It might have been before his tenure began, but the day after my last request went out, he did respond informally. It was an email. He described what he'd been doing in his technical revisions of the station, bringing the station up to snuff in terms of the signal and all. And because he had just gone through all of the nuts and bolts of it, that's where his focus was. But he didn't actually offer a written emergency response plan. What he gave me was, I was glad to have that. It's more than I got from anyone else. But it didn't take the form of a conventional emergency response plan with, you know, a list of all the possible hazards and list of who was responsible to respond and their contact information. That I didn't have that. So that, I'm sorry to say, was the one and only response I got from anyone. That kind of, nobody even wanted to talk about it. I know of at least a couple that quite honestly just don't have one, but they couldn't even be bothered to tell me that. So on the bright side, though, I was asked to address the affiliates roundtable recently. It's been, I guess, a couple weeks ago, about emergency management, emergency preparedness and response and our role in it. And that went over really well. That was a great discussion. I enjoyed that morning a lot. There was a lot of good energy around it. A number of people showed up who were clearly speaking from experience. So it's very, very real to them, the need for this and the difference that it makes if we've got it. I had a number of people contact me afterwards who weren't able to be there that day, but had listened to it online afterwards, and several people asked for follow-up, and I'm still working through all of that, including the general manager of our nearest local low-power radio station here in Ventura, who turns out to be one of our affiliates. And I had known that for the last couple of months or so, but hadn't yet made contact, and now she's reaching out to me. So that'll be good. She's also from Ojai, where I live. And so I'll follow up on that. I think I'm at the point where I would... Hang on just a second. I've got to get back to the right page. I'd like to propose that we stand up a Pacifica Emergency Management Work Group to work with management to create a robust emergency response program. I'm willing to take on that task. It would be great if there's anybody else here who would like to work with me on that, but I know that there are others I've met through my preparation for this project that I could call into. I think it's going to take working with management to light a fire under the rest of management, so to speak.
Beth, you might want to contact John Almella.
Okay.
He's the sort of the technical director for Pacifica.
Yeah, chief engineer.
He would definitely be involved in something like this.
Yeah. I will do that. Thank you. I'm writing that down.
I'll be glad to introduce you if you don't, you know, if you've never had any interaction.
I know I've heard about his work. I don't know how aware he may be of mine. And an introduction would be welcome.
Okay.
Or I'm pretty brave about just picking up the phone, calling people if it's needed, or emailing, either way. But I would very much appreciate being in contact, being in coordination with him, especially on this effort. It came up in conversation with Lydia very briefly. We touched on it just a couple days ago, and she seemed open and receptive, and didn't seem to realize that she's one of the 8 unit managers I haven't heard back from. So I would expect to follow up on that too. I think it's going to take coordination with management to flesh out a robust policy and then mm-hmm. get it implemented from the national office down through the all the various units. And I'm going to hope she gets better response from them than I do, because so far that hasn't really worked. But the first step would likely be to require an emergency response plan at each station, just to get people in gear and on the same page and in compliance. So that's as far as I've gotten so far. Is there any opposition to my working on setting up an emergency management work group and proceeding along those lines and reporting back here anytime we have a meeting?
I don't think there's any opposition, but it's just as a practical matter, it just might make sense to basically, you're talking about you need like 2 or 3 people to do this properly.
I need that would be good. It would be good to have that many heads together initially.
Yeah, yeah.
To think it through, to flesh it out, and especially the people who are deeply involved in operations, because it's going to be up to them to make it work. They know where we are now. Eventually, we'll need to have contacts in each of the stations, and hopefully someone with interest and experience in this sort of thing, other than just management. I mean, it would be great if management were engaged too, but at least at this point, they're not. And so until we have reliable engagement from management, I'd like, you know, a liaison, a touch point at each station. I can think of, you know, one or two. I'd like to find others. But it would be, you know, it's an incremental process. I would take it step at a time.
Okay. Well, thank you, Beth. So anybody else have anything to report or discuss or question?
Chris Corey for the stack.
Yep, Chris.
I was going to, I'm sorry, I missed when Beth mentioned which station had submitted a plan to Beth. Could you repeat that for me, Beth?
Sure. When I reiterated my initial request as a director's inspection, I did hear back from one general manager, that was David Bay out of Texas, who replied with an email the next day. It wasn't actually in the form of a formal emergency response plan, but he did give me a good, just, he could tell me just off the top of his head because he'd been working with the technology recently to upgrade it. And he was able to tell me basically what considerations they've made. Most emergency response plans would cover how to manage a facility in an emergency, but given that they aren't actually in a facility other than the antenna, the tower, they've got a Radio Shack there, that doesn't actually apply yet. It will once they are back into a building. But I'm sorry to say that's all I got back. That seems the only general director I heard from. I would like to think that at least some of them have emergency response plans and just couldn't quite be bothered to respond. But I know for a fact that at least a couple of them don't. So that would be my first order of business is to remedy that to bring us into compliance in that. Thanks.
Okay. I mistakenly sent my copy of KPFA's emergency plan to Julie rather than to you. So I did that on June 10th. So it was fully 6 weeks ago, but I'll resend it right now. I just found it in my email box. So,
that doubles our response rate. That doubles our response rate. Great.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's not that you'll see from his notes that it's not complete. It's a working copy, but it's at least it's something.
Yeah. Thank you.
I wanted just to mention to everybody who happens to be listening, mostly this committee, that this emergency response stuff is it's very difficult to get management of any organization to cooperate with this. And there's a whole host of reasons for that. Part of it is just a tendency to not want to think about emergencies. So it's difficult to make this stuff happen. And that shouldn't discourage us, but what it should tell us is that without a mandate, in other words, without it being perceived as a need, it's very, very difficult to ever make it happen. We're probably going to need at some point some sort of mandate either from the executive director or from this committee or from the PMD.
There is no separation between action and, like, there's no such a thing.
I mean, it's easy to understand why management is not going very far with this.
That's
some background noise. Who's that?
Yes, that's Paulina. I think has been on mute and evidently doesn't know she's not.
As I was reading along.
Paulina?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm getting interrupted. I'll be right back.
Paulina? Okay, I think she heard.
Okay. Beth, my email just got returned.
Okay.
I'm using the My Spanish Canary, is that correct?
That's right, but I've been getting, especially now that the campaigning has begun, I'm getting, like, it comes in faster than I can keep it cleared out. But let me clear a spot for you.
Okay, and, perfect.
Thank you. And I wanted to just reiterate what Chris just said about that it's not unusual for organizations, possibly most organizations, not to be up to date or up to snuff on this. And on the other hand, there is a legal mandate, both a state mandate and a federal mandate. OSHA requires one, and the state of California requires an emergency response plan at every facility. And we'll start with that and help bring everybody into compliance so that they don't have to do all that heavy lifting themselves. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. I'm sure if they hear more of this from the executive or from the executive director, that they'll be more motivated to respond to her than they might have been to me. But yeah, and it would help I should probably think about that and bring forth some kind of motion, standing up a program or project or something, because a mandate from this committee and then from the PNB would be helpful.
I agree.
Good idea, Chris. Good idea, Chris.
Thanks. Alex, I was just about to ask you about the advisory council, so I just got your email. Maybe you could offer a few words on that.
These are interesting. I would recommend everybody read these two articles. They sort of lay out what's involved. I mean, the author makes it clear that before you even start thinking about it, you have to figure out what the purpose of it is. What do you want to do with an advisory council that you can't do, for instance, with one or two individuals who may be willing to volunteer to do something? And you also have to get over the idea that an advisory group is going to be able to do everything you need that the normal process procedures on the board don't get to. That's never going to happen. So you have to sort of pick what are the most important contributions that. Such, if you want to set that up, what are the most important contributions that they could do that are practical to implement? And the other thing the author discusses is don't call it an advisory board. I was doing that initially because that just creates a lot of confusion. It's the board of directors is the, you know, that's the group that has the fiduciary duty and certain legal responsibilities. An advisory group does not have any of that. It's a very different kind of body. So we don't want to spread that confusion. So I think going forward we should call it something like the Pacifica National Advisory Council or something like that. If we decide to go ahead. I just started getting back to this issue recently. So got any comments on that?
Hey, it's Julie. I just reporting that I've been on the call for just a few minutes now.
Oh, okay, Julie. I thought you were still on vacation.
No, there was a bad storm in my neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Well, glad to have you.
I'm happy to be here. It's better than the trees
storm.
Down.
Wow. Okay, I don't have anything much more to add to that. Does anybody have any questions or comments on that?
No, I have Alex, this is Chris. Can I get on the stack one more time?
Sure.
Beth, I got your test email, and the last copy I sent seemed to go through, so hopefully you'll get it.
Thank you. There it is. Got it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and I apologize for the misdirection.
No problem. No problem. It caught up to me. It's just good to know that it's been there the whole time, you know, that they do have a plan. So.
Yeah, yeah. You kept saying that only one station had submitted, but it never registered to me which one it was. And when you said KPFT, I went, dang. How did that happen? Oh, well. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't have anything further to report on the NFT situation. Chris, do you have anything further on that?
No. Unfortunately, these meetings seem to be scheduled at really, really inconvenient times for me. I've tried to make every single one of them, and I think I missed the last one by 5 minutes. So I haven't been able to attend any of those meetings. So it would only be Lyndon at this point, I think, who's present, familiar with any updates.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll try to figure out what's going on there. I'll try to catch up. Send a note to Lyndon. All right. I don't have anything further to report. Does anybody else have anything?
Alex, this is Heather. I just want to ask a quick question. I don't know. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if in strategic planning, I think there's been some discussion about underwriting. Has there been some kind of controversy around that, or has there been a discussion about it in underwriting?
We had a lot of discussion about underwriting, not this year, but the previous incarnations of this committee. And that whole discussion is sort of, I don't know, it just never got anywhere.
I see.
There's too many, it's a very emotional subject. People have very strong opinions about it. And my own view is I'm opposed to the kind of underwriting that the NPR stations do, but I do think it may be legitimate to at least experiment with a kind of limited kind of underwriting that many of our affiliates do, where we vet the people that do the underwriting to make sure they have values that, you know, that we endorse and so on, and make sure it doesn't turn into an infomercial and that kind of stuff. But we're just not exploring that possibility right now. I think at some point we should get back to it, if for no other reason, just to state what the Pacifica policy is. I have a clear statement on policy on underwriting, which at this point we really don't. I mean, we're against underwriting. That's about it. But we know that some of the stations have done a certain form of underwriting. They don't call it that, but in effect, that's what it really is. I believe that has been happening at KPFK. I'm not sure where else it might have been happening, but I know that station, for one, has been doing it. They've essentially been doing underwriting, but they don't.
I see.
Yeah.
Well,
this Corey's in the stack.
Chris.
Can I just finish this for a second?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Heather.
Thanks. Well, here I'm in a restaurant here. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah,
can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention that I think there needs to be a lot more discussion or understanding of here we are, community radio stations, we're representing the community, the masses of the community. We're not corporate owned and controlled. But the thing is, there in all of our communities, there are small businesses, right? And so what we do at our station here is we reach out to small businesses who are wanting to promote whatever. And I think I mentioned this at a Pacifica meeting. I can't remember which one it was exactly, but I remember this person who mentioned that, Heather, I'm eternally grateful to WRSG, because were it not for WRSG, I wouldn't have known about the small business in East Atlanta, for example. And, you know, I think if along the lines of what you're saying, Alex, if there are policies established that realize that we have small businesses that are definitely there for the community as well, and they're not corporate owned and controlled either. They're just small businesses, right? Well, corporate in a smaller sense, I suppose. But I think it's important to have that, establish those kinds of relationships, to be perfectly frank. And that, of course, includes educational organizations as well. But in any case, I just wanted to bring that up for maybe future reference.
Chris, did you have something? You wanted to say something on this?
Yeah, so Alex is right. This has been brought up quite a bit at the PNB, maybe not in the last year or two, but certainly before that quite a bit. And the general reaction is if we were talking about, you know, we were talking about syphilis or something, you know, it there's a very, very strong reaction, and it's very, very negative. I would say that probably at least the last time it was brought up, at least half the PMB was uninterested in even. I'm not sure, you know. I'm just mentioning it because just to prepare you for the amount of resistance that this issue has, and to encourage you to find a way to present it that makes sense. Like, for example, what you just said about if you're talking about small local businesses that are local to an individual state supports the community in the way that the station does, it doesn't seem like there's really any conflict of interest between the primary purpose of the station and some of these local businesses. You know, there are bakeries that are minority owned and in Berkeley that would be, I think, really, it would be great to be able to promote that. It could be a reciprocal relationship that would benefit both parties. So I'm not prima facie opposed, as some members of the board are. I just want to warn you that there are members that will basically stick their fingers in their ears and just not listen to it, unless they're approached in a way that makes the argument hospitable. So that's all. I just wanted to give you a little red warning.
Thanks for that, Chris.
Yeah,
Alex, can I just comment about one thing?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't have really strong feelings about this. I have strong feelings against corporate underwriting of any kind, of course.
Absolutely.
but I don't. I think it would be reasonable to consider it to consider a certain restricted form of underwriting that we could agree on that would maintain our values and our mission. At the same time, I'm not convinced that this would ever become a major source of revenue. That's the other thing, because from what I understand, when it has been implemented, it hasn't shown much in that area.
So
that's another thing to look at if we ever wanted to have that discussion.
Well, I just want to mention one other thing, just so folks on the committee know that most of my work has been in cooperative economic development. So working with black farmers, but also in cooperative economic development. So I think in those terms as well, Alex, about cooperatives, which can be various sizes as well. But anyway, they're all kinds of small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, there may be reasons for doing something like that other than purely monetary ones, you know, maybe to cement our relationships with small businesses in the community. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
All right. So, sorry, yeah. Thank you.
But anyway, right. it's not on the agenda right now. If anybody really feels strongly about this, we could bring it back on the agenda. But the experience with this has not been good. So
this is Beth.
Yes, Beth.
A couple of things. I know that there are parts of KPFK fundraising that should be called into question on these grounds and haven't been as thoroughly examined as they should be. We need to find a way to I'm hoping that once we get the new GM in place, we can take that up then. I don't expect to get far with it between now and then, given who we have in place. I too have major misgivings about corporate underwriting. On the other hand, out here in essentially our listening area, I hear other NPR stations having received underwriting from Co-Opportunity, which is a major food cooperative in Santa Monica. And when I used to be a member there when I lived closer. And I remember my first thought when I heard them come up with something new and appear on hosting or promoting NPR for the first time, I thought, you know, they should be with us. You know, they're nonprofit, they're cooperative, they're clearly promoting a lot of the same values that we are, and it would make more sense for us to align than for them to align with NPR. But given our sort of blanket negativity toward it, right now there's not an open door. So maybe if we start defining some criteria, like from other nonprofits or other cooperatives. There are a lot of the arts organizations out here, the major arts organizations, World and Promotional
Beth, let me stop you for a minute. We've been through this. I have offered this committee all kinds of documents from some affiliate stations showing the agreements they have with the people they come in, they have partnerships with, the restrictions that they have. Some of the stations have very clear restrictions, what they can do, what they can't do. We've been through all this. It's not like people don't have enough information. There's just a real reluctance to face the issue.
Well, this is my first time around that.
I know.
Medical round. So,
yeah. I'm just sort of giving you some background.
Uh-huh. On the other hand, I remember an email, newsletter type email from our previous general manager a couple months after I got to the station saying, "Good news, we got $120,000 grant from Google Ads." And I remember thinking, "Wait a minute, we did what? In what form?" And he didn't dwell on that. He went right on to the next thing. And I was never able to get him to document that. I'm still hoping once we get a new GM in that I'll be able to get to that documentation and bring that to light. That's a problem. It's a problem. Who knows if that's going on, then what else is going on that we don't know about? So anyway, yeah, I do think it deserves further discussion, if not here, then elsewhere.
And I understand, I relate to a lot of the reluctance, a lot of the resistance. But maybe if we make some, you know, finer distinctions, I don't know.
Well, it's not like we don't have enough. You know, we have several projects we're looking into to generate revenues. It's not like we don't have enough stuff to do.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, if the committee wants to explore that, we could put it on the agenda again. I personally am reluctant to do that, but that's just my opinion. You don't have to go along with it. All right. Anybody else? Any further comments? Okay. Well, then maybe we should wrap up. Let's see if we could get a little further on some of these projects next time. Shall we meet again in 2 weeks?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Yeah. All right. That's good.
Okay.
What day is that?
Well, if hopefully Monday and two Mondays from today, unless there's
August 9th.
Yeah. All right. Well, if there's no further discussion, I guess we can adjourn. Somebody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn. This is Chris Cooley.
Okay.
This is Heather. I'll second.
Okay. Any objections? All right. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Yeah. Bye.